It's hard out there for a bank. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. It is everyone's favorite week of the quarter, bank earnings week. Okay, maybe not everyone's favorite week, but JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo are all reporting out today on how they are doing. And a lot of the time, these banks' earnings are pretty good at telling us something about the current state of the economy. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports that right now, banks are still trying to figure out how to make money when interest rates are low and could be getting lower.
The Federal Reserve, as you may or may not have heard, has cut interest rates twice since July.
And that affects bank earnings negatively.
Brad McMillan is Chief Investment Officer for Commonwealth Financial Network.
Because a big chunk of any financial institution's earnings is based on the spread between what they're paying customers and what they're getting on their cash.
In other words, lower rates eat into banks' profits because they limit what banks can charge on loans. On the other hand, lower rates can entice people to refinance their mortgages or take out other loans. And the amount of money consumers and businesses are borrowing is ticking back up after years of sluggishness. Stephen Bigger at Argus Research says another positive is that not a lot of people are defaulting on their bank loans these days, in part because of low unemployment.
If you have a job, you're paying back your loans. If you lose a job and it's easy to find another one, you're also paying back your loans.
Financial company stocks in the S&P 500 are up almost 5% over the past year. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
WeWork, the co-working space, has had a run of tough luck. It recently canceled a planned initial public offering, but it may have found a new lifeline. Marketplace's Erica Barris has been following this story. Hey, Erica, can you walk us through this?
Hey, Sabri. Yep. Based on news reports, with the option of a SoftBank bailout or one from JP Morgan Chase & Company, WeWork may be going with a $5 billion bailout package from JP Morgan Chase. That could include at least $2 billion of unsecured payment in kind notes with a 15% coupon, which underscores skepticism among debt investors that the company will become profitable soon. But if there is a turnaround, then it does reward investors.
Is a turnaround likely?
The company has new leaders, and they've said they'll be curtailing spending. So, looking to sell some offshoots. Last week, it was announced that WeGrow, the private school the company runs in New York City, is closing after this school year. The Guardian is reporting that WeWork is expected to lay off around 2,000 people as early as this week. That's 13% of the workforce. And yesterday, the company said that around 1,600 phone booths at WeWork spaces in the U.S. and Canada were contaminated with formaldehyde, which is considered a carcinogen.
Oh my gosh. All right. Marketplace's Erica Barris, thanks for the update. And let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 2-3% range, with the Dow future up 60 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.68%. The glass ceiling, this is the term that refers to barriers women and people of color face in achieving senior leadership positions. It was coined back in 1978, and it still very much exists today. The good news, according to McKinsey's annual Women in the Workplace report, is that things are slowly improving. There are more women at the top of the corporate ladder than in the past. The bad news is that it's hard for women to start climbing that ladder in the first place. Lorena Yee is Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer at McKinsey & Company, and she joins us. Good morning.
Thank you.
So there's this, you know, often lamented problem that women are not represented at the highest levels of business, and people point out that in order to get to the top, you have to start somewhere, you know, below the top, maybe the bottom. And your work points out that's where the problem starts, promotions early on in women's careers. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
We do a great job bringing women into companies, but a couple of years later, when they're up for their first promotion, we see a huge disparity. For every 100 men promoted, 72 women are promoted. And if you are a Black woman, 59. And we think it's worth a lot, because oftentimes what HR folks will say or executives will say is that as we get more senior, it's a supply problem. There aren't enough candidates. Well, if you fix this first step, you would certainly have a lot more supply in the upper tiers.
Do you think it's implicit bias of some kind that younger women are treated differently than younger men?
I think implicit bias certainly plays a role, but it's a lot of different things. We suspect it's a bit of an unseen problem. You saw that you brought a lot of women at the beginning. You know they're still in your company. You didn't quite catch how many of them are getting stuck so early. And so on a more optimistic side, we do think that if companies turn the spotlight on this, they have the capability and the capacity to make it a lot better.
Work-life flexibility is an important issue for women that you identify. Can you explain how that's related?
Work-life flexibility is important for both men and women. And one of the things that we've seen over the last 5 years is there's no shortage of programs out there. The challenge is that most men and women believe that there's some professional risk to taking advantage of these flexibility programs. And for women in particular, and for women who have young families, that hits particularly hard. And so the big next step is not just to design programs, but to de-risk people's ability to take advantage of them.
What do you say to companies that want to do something?
Well, I would say that companies have said that they would like to see some change, but when you look at the results, it's pretty dour. But what I'm really excited about is that company commitment is turning into results for women at the top. And the next discussion is, how did you create that? Because you need to offer that all the way through your company, and especially for that first promotion.
Lorena Yi is Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer at McKinsey & Company. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.